This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section and the Lead section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 3rd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Tom Thompson. Hemp farming looking for credit, carbon credit that is. Well, it is now May, and in most of the United States, it is high time to get the field crops planted. Among them is hemp, industrial hemp, which despite being an ancient crop and a generally legal one since 2019, still has an uncertain future. In America today, you can plant it, harvest it, you can distill it down to its individual compounds, except Delta 9 THC, depending on where you are. You can take the CBD-rich biomass and extract and distill it until you have the purest of pure CBD isolates. You can make fiber and concrete out of hemp. You can eat the hemp seeds. You can keep the seeds and plant them next year. In most states, you can take the flower and dry it and smoke it with or without spraying it first with Delta 8 THC. You can grind the seeds and feed the seed meal to your pets or other animals and refine the oil for human consumption. In a few places, though, you cannot plant your hemp because its pollen might interfere with nearby field-grown marijuana varieties. Nonetheless, while it's clear that America is open for hemp, it is not clear that you can make a living growing the stuff. To read the rest of this commentary, go to JohnLothianNews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Historian Niall Ferguson has a new book coming out May 4th titled Doom, The Politics of Catastrophe. It tells the story of when a mid-century pandemic of Asian flu hit the U.S. and how it was dealt with. An early progenitor of the flu's spread was an outbreak at the Boy Scout National Jamboree held in 1957 at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. When the scouts returned home, they brought the flu with them and spread it throughout the country. The spreading of the flu did not qualify as doing a good turn daily. The Wall Street Journal has an excerpt from Ferguson's book telling the story. Bloomberg reports that the EU looks to open its borders after a year of pandemic isolation. The NFA will hold a virtual member regulatory workshop for commodity pool operator and commodity trading advisor and futures commission merchants, forex dealer members, introducing brokers and swap dealer members on May 11th to 13th. Melissa Acker, formerly of Trading Technologies, was honored with the 2021 Built-In's Moxie Award, along with a bunch of other talented women. Her husband, Steve Acker, is a former brokerage client of mine. We had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign over the weekend. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Have your donations matched by Trading Technologies. Robbie Lothian turned 20 over the weekend. That's my son, which means the Lothian household has no teenagers for the first time in 13 years. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Brood X, trillions of cicadas are about to emerge after 17 years. This is from CBS News. Films about invading insects have been scaring moviegoers for decades, but now a real-life insect invasion of what are called periodical cicadas will put Hollywood to shame by its sheer size and scope. Over the next few weeks along the East Coast and Midwest, the cicadas will emerge from the ground, shed their skins, and partake in a month-long mating ritual, making quite a scene, climbing trees and singing mating songs as loud as 100 decibels, the same intensity as a jackhammer. My comment, get ready for some loud insect noise this summer. Here is a commentary from John McPartland, Director of Research, Hidden Road Partners LP. challenging skin in the game. In the old days of the 1970s, few understood what the term skin in the game signified. The International Monetary Market, IMM, part of the CME, introduced the good to the last drop rule, which involved borrowing financial mass from its clearing members in a time of loss. The IMM rule book duly listed the sequential tranches of financial assets that would be brought to bear should the clearinghouse suffer financial loss or over the indeterminate term, excess retained earnings of the clearinghouse would be brought into play. Subsequent to initial margin, exchange memberships, and the guarantee fund deposits of the defaulter. The general perception then was that the 1970 versions of skin in the game was not unlike an insurance deductible. In other words, before any remaining loss went to the clearing membership for satisfaction, a material amount of cash of the CCP would go first. Skin in the game seemed largely based on the CCP's ability to pay. My comment, John McPartland may have left the Chicago Fed, but he is still a sharing thinker. Here is a story from Markets Media. ICE sells Coinbase stake for $1.2 billion. Intercontinental Exchange said it sold its stake in the U.S. cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase for more than $1.2 billion as the operator of global exchanges, clearinghouses, and provider of mortgage technology data and listing services reported record revenues and net income for the first quarter of this year. My comment, Jeff Sprecher's ICE had an early play in crypto that paid off big. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Why so many millennials fall prey to imposter syndrome when young adults doubt their financial success and knowledge it can complicate decision making. Quote, I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to managing my money, unquote. Quote, I don't deserve to be earning, saving, spending as much as I am, unquote. Quote, I just know I'm going to screw this all up eventually, unquote. These are some of the thoughts that run through my head whenever I open my banking app or check my credit score. Me, a personal finance reporter at the Wall Street Journal. The confidence in my job and my confidence in my own finances are two different things. I'm not alone in feeling insecure about managing my own money. My comment, who are you? Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. TikTok is the place to go for financial advice if you're a young adult. The short videos are ideal for many people, but is the advice any good? TikTok is the place to go for new dances, viral taco recipes, and now financial advice. The big benefit of TikTok is that it allows users to dole out and obtain information in short, digestible video bites, also called TikToks. And that can make unfamiliar, complex topics, such as those related to personal finance and investing, more palatable to a younger audience. My comment, I can think of some better spots to get advice, but none is cool. Here are the top three most read stories from Friday's JLN. The most clicked story on Friday was actually a tweet by Hide Not Slide of an image, the Chicago Board of Trade building, built in 1930 to house the CBOT's trading pit, was the tallest building until 1955 and sits at the end of LaSalle Street. The second most click story was from Business Insider. The disaster girl just made close to $500,000 by selling the NFT of her meme. And the third was from Bloomberg. Affluent Americans rush to retire in new life is short mindset. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Americans can't get enough of the stock market. Households increased stock holdings to 41% of their total financial assets in April. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Americans are all in the stock market. Individual investors are holding more stocks than ever before as major index climb to fresh highs. They are also upping the ante by borrowing to magnify their bets or increasingly buying on small dips in the market. Stock holdings among U.S. households increased to 41% of their total financial assets in April, the highest level on record. That is according to JPMorgan Chase & Company and Federal Reserve data going back to 1952 that includes 401k retirement accounts. J.P. Morgan's Nicholas Pantagertsoglu, who analyzed the data, attributed elevated allocations to appreciating share prices alongside stock purchases. Here's a story from Bloomberg. New York City is roaring back to life 1 year after its nadir. When the pandemic emptied New York City's streets last year, some declared it dead. But after a terrible, painful year, it's now defying those declarations. Rush hour traffic is back. Noise complaints are picking up, and it's once again difficult to score a reservation at your favorite brunch spot. When the pandemic emptied New York City street last year, some declared it dead. But after a terrible, painful year, the city is now defying those declarations and getting its mojo back. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. China orders tech giants to unbundle financial services. Companies have turned their mobile payment apps into financial supermarkets, offering loans and insurance policies. No more, says Beijing. In recent years, China's technology giants have turned consumers' embrace of mobile payment apps into lucrative ecosystems offering a range of financial services, from personal loans to insurance policies. Now Beijing wants to put a stop to that. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. Robinhood's biggest business more than tripled among trading frenzy. The trading app generated $331 million in payments for order flow during the first 3 weeks of 2021. The stock trading mania of early 2021 lifted revenue at Robinhood Markets Inc. to new highs. When its customers buy and sell stocks and options, Robinhood routes those orders to high-speed traders, which pay the startup brokerage for the right to execute many of those trades. That business, known as Payment for Order Flow, generated about $331 million in revenue for Robinhood in the first quarter, according to a securities filing late last week. That is more than triple the $91 million Robinhood brought in from Payment for Order Flow in the first quarter of 2020. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 4th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Welcome to Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Environmental derivatives firm Incubex has raised $11.7 million in its latest fundraising round. But what was more impressive was the list of entrepreneurs who invested. The names are Michael Spencer, Lance Ugla, and former Deutsche Börse head Carsten Kettinger. Incubex is a developer of financial contracts for environmental markets and is expected to float its shares in London this year. Former JLN News president Jim Carruff is their communications director. Their timing is very good considering EU carbon prices just hit record highs at £50 a ton. The pandemic is so severe in India, they have suspended cricket matches. Cricket regulators suspended the Indian Premier League after multiple players contracted COVID-19. Look for a discussion on trading and best execution in derivatives, futures, and options in FX next week at the Virtual Capital Markets Strategy / Trading Evolved U.S. Trading and Best Execution Summit, May 12th to 13th. The panel will be moderated by Walt Lucan, President and Chief Executive Officer of FIA Inc., and panelists include David Farrell of ICE Futures US Inc., Michael Golding from Optimer, Ellen Green from SIFMA, and Joe J.J. Kinahan from TD Ameritrade. SGX is putting on a webinar titled Trading Opportunities in Indian Rupee on May 11th. It will be at 5 a.m. Chicago time. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. Chris Bates was a partner at Clifford Chance for 34 of his 40 years at the firm. He is starting a new role as a special counsel supporting their financial regulation practice. We had no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. ETF.com reports that investors in U.S.-listed ETFs added $74.2 billion to the sector in April, for a total of $320.3 billion of new cash invested in the first 4 months of 2021, far more than the $121.1 billion seen at the same time last year. Not surprisingly, given the continued stock market rally, most of the recent inflows were in U.S. equity ETFs, Suzanne Cosgrove reported. The spread video is in the newsletter today. The title is Credit Suisse Sued for Alleged Market Manipulation, OIC 2021 of Virtual Success. This week on The Spread, Credit Suisse prepares for round two of a lawsuit alleging it committed market manipulation. A New York vol quant wins big on momentum trades, the OCC wins and gives awards, and more. You can find the link for the video in today's newsletter. New Jersey to give free beer to COVID vaccine recipients, CNBC reported. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy on Monday announced a new bid to boost coronavirus vaccines. Receive your first dose in May and get a free beer. We're not going to be afraid to try new things, Murphy said as he unveiled the new program dubbed Shot and a Beer at a press briefing. My comment, is it cold too? Here is a story from Yahoo Finance. U.S. needs to take leadership on central bank digital currencies, former CFTC chair. A former financial regulator says the United States needs to step up its research into a central bank-issued digital currency as the Federal Reserve explores the viability of a digital dollar. My comment, we have leadership on this, and it is Chris Giancarlo. Keep pushing, Chris. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. The top story on Monday was an article about CCPs published by the World Federation of Exchanges and written by John McPartland, challenging skin in the game. The second most clicked story was from Bloomberg, New York roaring back to life 1 year after its nadir. And third was a still popular tweet from Hide Not Slide that also was in the top three on Friday. The Chicago Board of Trade building, built in 1930 to house the CBOT's trading pits, was the city's tallest building until 1955 and sits at the end of LaSalle Street. Here are the top four stories in today's lead section of JLN. NYSE says more staff can return to trading floor if vaccinated. The New York Stock Exchange is opening up further for vaccinated traders. Companies whose staff are based at the historic NYSE floor will be permitted to raise their headcount if 100% of employees at the site can prove they're fully vaccinated, according to a memo from NYSE Chief Operating Officer Michael Blagrund. The changes go in effect May 10th and are based on improvement to public health conditions in the New York City area and the continuing progress of the nationwide vaccination rollout, Blagrund wrote in the memo. Here's a story from Phil Stafford of the FT. Environmental derivatives firm Incubex raises $12 million in funding round. Investment is the latest sign of growth in investments such as carbon contracts. A trio of financial industry veterans has invested in environmental derivatives platform Incubex in the latest sign of growth of trading in instruments such as carbon contracts that let companies offset their pollution. Here's a story from Reuters. Digital dollar project to launch five U.S. central bank digital currency pilots. The U.S. nonprofit Digital Dollar Project said on Monday it will launch five pilot programs over the next 12 months to test the potential uses of a U.S. central bank digital currency, the first effort of its kind in the United States. The private sector pilots initially will be funded by Accenture PLC and involve financial firms, retailers, and NGOs, among others. The aim is to generate data that could help U.S. policymakers develop a digital dollar. The last story is from the Financial Times. A reckoning for SPACs. Will regulators deflate the boom? The SEC is concerned about the market for blank check companies, including optimistic projections and celebrity endorsements. At the beginning of the year, the space transportation startup Momentus thought it would be well on its way towards its stated mission of revolutionizing space infrastructure and the space economy. Instead, regulators intervened. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 5th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Without fanfare or amplification from its executives, the CME Group shut the books on most, but not all, of its floor trading history Tuesday afternoon with the announcement that it will not reopen its trading pits that were closed early last year. The CME closed its Chicago trading floor as of the close of business Friday, March 13, 2020, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Eurodollar options pit, which was reopened in August 2020, will remain open and will trade both electronically and via open outcry. Options with their multiple strike prices, expirations, and spreads are generally viewed as more challenging to trade electronically, and euro options command healthy volumes. CME Group also announced that, subject to regulatory review, it will delist its floor-based S&P 500 futures and options contracts following the expiration of its September 2021 contracts on September 17, 2021, and a remaining open interest in those contracts will be migrated into E-mini S&P futures and options on CME Globex, the exchange said. This was Suzanne Cosgrove reporting this. In fitting timing, yesterday before the CME floor closing announcement, JLN released a video interview with former CME CIO Jim Krause for the Path to Electronic Trading series. Krause, who looks great since he retired, talks about his career, which featured development of the Globex project from the very start with the Reuters Trading Match Engine system. Thank you, Jim, for participating in this video. There are some great history and stories he shares. There have been whispers in recent weeks that the CME Group would be closing its floors. There were second and third hand reports that price reporting employees who work on the trading floor had been told they would not be returning to their jobs. Also, I expect a reduction in fine income from the CME as the last of the floor-based shenanigans will cease. The saddest part is that series is still closed for the pandemic, so we can't go there and toast the closing of the pits. I can remember a prominent trader at the CBOT from 1999 proclaiming the floors would close in 2000, and traders should be aware. He was just a little off. The TMX Group has pledged support to COVID-19 relief efforts in India. Conditions continue to worsen in India as the devastating outbreak of COVID-19 has overwhelmed hospitals and led to shortages of key medical supplies and resources needed to save lives, said John McKenzie, Chief Executive Officer, TMX Group. We salute the brave people working on the front lines during the crisis in India and around the world, including healthcare workers, first responders, and volunteers providing essential services and crucial support. It'd be great to see broad industry support for relief for India. They need our help. Rachna Murtha, the head of Equity and Index Derivative Sales Americas at Deutsche Börse, is running a Facebook fundraiser for Give India to help those affected by COVID-19 there. Barchart is hiring a director of licensing to manage third-party content licensing and relationships, and is looking for candidates with significant market data licensing experience. Their business is heavily focused on integrating, aggregating, and distributing market data, as well as other content like news in support of global equity, commodity, and currency markets. Eurex has a busy May planned. It started on May 1st with a VStocks futures liquidity provider scheme change that will reduce the maturity range to the first three expires and change the minimum quote size in the FVS1 and FVS3. Also on May 1 in FX derivatives, they have amendments to the ESU parameters, changing LP schemes to around the world time zone schemes that will lead to significantly lower ESU limits compensated by an increase of MM base. For the whole list of events and necessary actions, click in a link in today's newsletter. The birth rate in the U.S. was down last year and dropped 8% in December, which would correlate with the beginning of the pandemic. We had an anonymous donation of $100 to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Thank you to Anonymous and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. The founder of Our Wall Street Bets has announced that he is launching a new blockchain trading app with other members of the Reddit community to combat market manipulation, which is hilarious. The app will allow users to gain exposure to various ETPs and will run on a decentralized autonomous organization, or DAO, which will be governed using a digital token called $WSB token. This will allow users on the app to vote on important decisions within the community, including whether to adjust exposure to each ETP, which will be owned by the community, Matt Rabel reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The Jim Krause video. Jim Krause, the path to electronic trading. Jim Krause came to the futures industry from a job in temperature control and HVAC at a company called MCC Powers. He followed Don Serpico, his supervisor at MCC Powers, who had been hired by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, to the CME. His timing could not have been better. He was hired to develop the clearing system at CME. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. CME Group to close most of its Chicago trading pits permanently. Floor trading for agricultural commodities has existed in the Midwest hub since the mid-19th century. The exchange operator CME Group, Inc. said it would permanently close most of its open outcry trading pits in Chicago, ending one of the world's last vestiges of old-fashioned floor trading. CME said Tuesday that a number of trading pits that it closed temporarily in March 2020 to prevent the spread of COVID-19 wouldn't be reopened. Many U.S. workplaces are coming back to life as the pandemic eases. My comment, my post to several exchange-related Facebook groups showed responses from sadness to statements that open outcry trading ended 10 years ago. Here is a story from Crane Chicago Business. LaSalle Street buildings go up for sale. The marketing of two properties could reveal investor sentiment about Loop offices. What will investors pay for LaSalle Street office buildings amid the COVID-19 pandemic? A pair of landlords of the high-profile Loop Corridor want to find out. In the larger of two offerings, a joint venture of New York-based Fortress Investment Group and Chicago-based Hearn has hired the Chicago office of Jones Lang LaSalle to market the 26-story building at 2 North LaSalle Street for sale. My comment, this will be an important test of the Chicago Financial District's real estate market. Here's a story from Bloomberg. If the Pentagon takes UFOs seriously, so should markets. The possibility of alien life on Earth has implications for the entire human race, including investors. Now that the Pentagon takes UFOs seriously, it's perhaps appropriate to consider some more mundane aspects of the phenomena, namely, what it means for the markets. UFO data will probably remain murky and unresolved, but if UFOs of alien origin become somewhat more likely, starting to be clear from a low base rate, which prices will change. Or to put the question in market terms, where is the alpha in Alpha Centauri? My comment, if Thor shows up, I will take it seriously. Here's another story from Bloomberg. The Dogecoin joke is turning serious in latest crypto binge. Digital tokens value soars overnight to $90 billion. Cryptomania popularity may be hurting gold, says analysts. For anyone who still thinks Dogecoin is a joke, there are 90 billion reasons that say it is not. That's how much the digital token is now worth in dollar terms after another 40% gain in the 24 hours through Wednesday. Useless or not, the coin has been swept up in the cryptomania that's gripped markets awash in central bank largesse. It's the latest milestone in a year of speculative excesses for a market Nouriel Roubini once described as the mother of all bubbles. My comment, my college student IT studying son, Robbie Lothian, bought $50 worth of Dogecoin at the beginning of the year. He was up over 600% at last reading a couple of days ago. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. The top story on Tuesday was from the Financial Times about a Chicago-based company, environmental derivative firm Incubex, raised $12 million in funding round. The second most read was JLN MarketsWiki page on Incubex. And the third was from Bloomberg, a particularly interesting story in light of the CME Group's Tuesday announcement. NYSE says more staff can return to the trading floor if vaccinated. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. This is from Crane Chicago Business and Steve Daniels. CME2 permanently closed trading pits. They shut over a year ago because of COVID-19. Most of the trading pits at CME Group, which closed last March due to the pandemic, won't open again. The Chicago-based derivatives exchange said today that it is permanently ending open outcry trading for all products other than Eurodollar options. That trading pit reopened last August and will continue to trade those options both in person and electronically, the company said. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Galaxy Digital to buy BitGo in crypto sector's first $1 billion deal. Purchase coincides with a nearly year-long rally in the sector, whose market value has surged to $2 trillion. Bitcoin-focused firm Galaxy Digital Holdings Limited has agreed to buy BitGo Inc. for $1.2 billion in cash and stock, the first $1 billion deal in the cryptocurrency industry. The deal coincides with a surge in interest and a nearly year-long rally in the crypto sector, whose market value has surged to $2 trillion. Here's a story from the New York Times. The sign of Wall Street that matters most is begging for infrastructure. Although political rancor can make it hard to detect, the smartest money on Wall Street is practically begging for a major infrastructure investment from Congress, one even larger and more sustained than what President Biden is proposing. Yes, the chief executives of some big financial institutions like JPMorgan Chase's Jamie Dimon have begun hand-wringing about inflation risks stemming from more government spending, particularly if much of it ends up financed with debt, which could be more likely than the White House may wish to admit. But the financial markets themselves are sanguine. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Binance stock token dispute with German markets regulator deepens. BaFin rebuffs call from crypto exchange to remove warning on securities rules. Germany's market regulator has rejected a request from crypto exchange Binance to remove a warning on possible securities rules violations in a deepening dispute over trading in tokens linked to stocks. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 6, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The SEC is holding its 40th annual Small Business Forum that will feature conversations on capital formation from startup to small cap. There are four sessions from May 24th to May 27th. On Monday, May 24th, the session will focus on finding your first dollars. The Tuesday, May 25th session looks at being a savvy investor. The Wednesday, May 26th session explores small and emerging funds. And the Thursday, May 27th session will examine small cap insights. There's a link in today's newsletter for more information. The preliminary results of the CME Group annual meeting had directors elected except for the B1 and B3 directors, where there was no quorum. As a result, the exiting B1 and B3 directors will continue to serve until the 2022 annual meeting. Directors elected during the CME Group's annual meeting included Terrence A. Duffy, Timothy S. Bitsberger, Charles P. Carey, Dennis H. Jukasian, Brian T. Durkin, Anna Dutra, Martin J. Gepsman, Larry G. Gerdes, Daniel R. Glickman, Daniel G. Kay, Phyllis M. Lockett, Deborah J. Lucas, Terry L. Savage, Rahal Sefu, William R. Shepard, Howard J. Siegel, and Dennis A. Suskind, each for a one-year term expiring in 2022. Also, the annual meeting ratified the appointment of Ernst & Young LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm for 2021 and approved on an advisory basis the compensation of named executive officers. In addition, the company's B2 class shareholders elected Michael G. Dennis and Patrick W. Maloney, each for a one-year term expiring in 2022. The B1 directors who hold over are William H. Hobart, Patrick J. Mulcrone, and Robert J. Tierney. The B3 director holding over is Elizabeth Cook. Women in Derivatives, or WIND, has elected Karen Wares, Head of Broker Relationship and Prime Services Management at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, as the newest addition to its board of directors. Kevin Darby has written a paper about all the work he has done at CQG the past year. There's a link in today's newsletter to find it. The World Federation of Exchanges has published new guidance on how derivative exchanges can promote sustainable development in collaboration with the UN Sustainable Stock Exchange Initiative. There's a link in today's newsletter. Don't miss the virtual LME Asia Metals Online Seminar on May 25th. It's a one-day webinar which will bring together industry leaders to share their insights into the development prospects of the metals market and the challenges and opportunities emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic. The webinar will be at 9 to 17 GMT and is offered in both English and Mandarin. Also, the Peterson Institute for International Economics will host a virtual discussion on Hong Kong as an international financial center on May 12th, 2021, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. Correction, we had a bad link for Incubex yesterday in JLN, where we reported that it was the second most clicked story in the newsletter on Tuesday. CME Group Senior Director Steve Stasis is the latest to give to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Stasis has been a trader with Ronin Capital and worked for Eurex. He was also Director of Research and Development for U.S. Futures Exchange. Thank you to Steve and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Steve's contribution is being matched dollar for dollar by the Trading Technology Matching Pledge. FIA recapped first quarter futures and options trading and open interest data on Wednesday in a webinar hosted by Will Ackworth, FIA's Senior Vice President of Publications, Data and Research. The results were much as expected. Retail investors led record global volume growth. One new point, first quarter volume in interest rate futures and options rebounded from its prolonged slump of 2020. As for exchange competition in the first quarter, the top global exchange by volume was the National Stock Exchange of India, followed by Brazil's B3, with CME Group coming in third. Will retail investors stay around and will they trade futures? UBS exchange analyst Alex Kram, also on the call, noted that the exchanges are gearing up for the challenge with new marketing efforts aimed at retail, more like mini contracts. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a press release from the CFTC. CFTC issues order of registration to Mercado Mexicano de Derivatos, S.A. de CV, to permit trading by direct access from the U.S. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission today announced that it has issued an order of registration to Mercado Mexicano de Derivatos, S.A. de CV, or MEXTER, a foreign board of trade located in Mexico City, Mexico, and a subsidiary of the Mexican Stock Exchange Group. My comment: is that a smiling Gary Flagler of MEXTER I see, or is that just the sun coming up? They both seem to have about the same amount of energy this morning. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Why the best job in finance isn't about the bonus. Norway's sovereign wealth fund keeps its top portfolio managers happy with lots of freedom, access to companies, and zero marketing responsibilities. Norway's sovereign wealth fund, the world's biggest, is hamstrung in competing for talent with the rest of the investment industry. As a public institution, it faces what it calls barriers to remuneration. In other words, it can't pay its stars what they would earn working at a hedge fund. But a study just published celebrating 20 years of active management suggests the fund has found other ways to attract and retain portfolio managers. Comment: wait, I thought I had the best job in finance. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. The top story on Wednesday was from the Wall Street Journal. CME Group to close most of its trading pits permanently. The second was from John Lothian News. Jim Krause, the path to electronic trading. The third was from Crane Chicago Business. Chicago says farewell to CME's last trading pits. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. From the Financial Times, Gensler raises concern about market influence of Citadel Securities. SEC chair highlights concentration risk among big trading firms in House testimony. Gary Gensler, new chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission, has expressed concern about the prominent role Citadel Securities and other big trading firms are playing in U.S. equity markets, warning that healthy competition could be at risk. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. GameStop frenzy, Archegos meltdown may prompt new SEC rules, chairman says. Gensler is set to testify Thursday before House Financial Services Committee. Wall Street's top regulator will study potential new rules related to two recent episodes of stock market turbulence, the GameStop Corp frenzy among small investors and the implosion of Archegos Capital Management. In testimony prepared for the House Financial Services Committee, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Gary Gensler says applications that gamify trading by using appealing visual graphics to reward a user's decision to trade might encourage frequent trading that results in worse outcomes for investors. Some Democratic lawmakers have blamed gamification for the boom in retail trading that helped drive the rise in GameStop shares. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. Dogecoin's 12,000% rally spurs hunt for next crypto winner. Individual investors are betting that cheaper alternatives to Bitcoin and Dogecoin will skyrocket in price and make them money. After Bitcoin and Dogecoin's blistering rally this year, individual investors are venturing further out into the cryptocurrency universe in search of the next big thing. A more than 12,000% rally this year in Dogecoin, a cryptocurrency that was set up as a joke and serves no purpose, sent its price to a record 69 cents per token this week. Bitcoin climbed briefly to over $60,000 a piece last month, more than doubling its price since the end of 2020. That is prompting investors to turn their attention to newer digital assets such as Digabyte, VeChain, and SafeMoon in the hunt for cheaper alternatives that could be the next to skyrocket. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Cryptocurrency Dogecoin surges ahead of Elon Musk's SNL gig. SpaceX might not be the only thing Elon Musk has sent into the stratosphere. Dogecoin, a meme cryptocurrency that was launched as a joke in 2013, has risen more than 100% in the past week as Musk, an influential crypto backer, prepares to host Saturday Night Live. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section and the lead section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 7th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this announcement. JLN Editor-in-Chief Sarah Rudolph to return to full-time duties Monday. Suzanne Cosgrove named JLN Deputy Managing Editor. JLN Editor-in-Chief Sarah Rudolph has been working part-time for the past few weeks and will return to her full-time duties on May 10th following her recent surgery. Additionally, JLN is promoting Suzanne Cosgrove to the role of Deputy Managing Editor. Cosgrove stepped in as acting managing editor in Rudolph's absence and will continue to support the editorial operations of John Lothian News. Rudolph took a medical leave following her March 12th surgery. "We are grateful to have Sarah back at work following her successful surgery," I said in the announcement. "She is an essential part of the success of JLN and has been since she joined us in 2007. "Congratulations to Suzanne on her promotion," said Sarah Rudolph. "I have enjoyed working with her and welcome her to her new role. She is an excellent editor, journalist, and co-worker." Suzanne's work during Sarah's absence showed the heavy workload Sarah was handling. The promotion for Suzanne recognizes her contribution to JLN operations and balances the work of editing JLN content, Lothian said. "We are lucky to have two such talented editors leading JLN editorial operations." Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. We have three commentaries below, one each from FIA's Walt Lukin, IEX's Ronan Ryan, and NASDAQ's Phil McIntosh. Lukin looks at China with a viewpoint: proposed futures law is a historic milestone for China's futures markets. Recently unveiled proposal paves way for deeper institutional participation. Ryan expounds on the retail appeal of IEX with an evolved retail solution for an evolved retail landscape. McIntosh writes about the SEC trying to fix the odd lots problem within NMS with NMS2 doesn't fix the odd lot problem. The SEC proposed changing round lot sizes. Today we take a look at just how odd the SEC's solution looks. Additionally, we have a commentary from Michael Bloomberg about a breakthrough in physics and the need for more funding to explore it in Why Congress Should Care About the Laws of Physics. Recent research seems to challenge the fundamentals of the field. The U.S. should support the quest for answers. There's a link for the testimony that SEC Chairman Gary Gensler gave before the House Committee on Financial Services yesterday. The Federal Reserve Board's May 2021 Financial Stability Report is in the newsletter today with a link as well. Here's a notice from the NFA. Due to maintenance, the following systems will be unavailable from 8 a.m. until 12 p.m. Central Time on Sunday, May 9th. Online registration system, basic data entry, security futures products training, online payments, online arbitration claims, arbiter profile, arbitrator training, employment application and profile system, and all electronic filing systems, including easy file exemptions, annual questionnaire, and disclosure documents. We apologize for any inconvenience. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone in particular, but I wish entities would not make dick jokes when talking about the size of futures contracts. Size is important to make contracts or equity prices in a range for a greater number of people to trade, but the euphemisms about size mattering unfortunately reminds me and other people of male member measurements and their value, and are sexist. Brian Duff, managing member at Kitty Hawk Resources LLC and a longtime banking executive leading prime services operations, is the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Brian also worked for Cargill Investor Services for 20 years, finishing as head of foreign exchange. Thank you to Brian and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Here is the commentary from Walt Lukin. Viewpoint: proposed futures law is a historic milestone for China's futures markets. Recently unveiled proposal paves way for deeper institutional participation. For many years, FIA has advocated for the passing of a futures law in China as a vital step in the development and growth of China's markets. These markets already rank among the largest in the world in terms of trading volume, but they lack certain legal provisions that are critical for deeper institutional participation. We also have consistently advocated for the enforceability of closeout netting as a key building block for the development of a liquid market for interest rate swaps and other OTC derivatives, which in turn is crucial for the development of a liquid futures market. My comment: without milestones, it's easy to get lost and not know how far you have gone. Here is the commentary from Ronan Ryan of IEX, an evolved retail solution for an evolved retail landscape. Since the beginning, IEX has worked with our broker partners to help them achieve high-quality executions for their institutional investor customers. We do that through our infrastructure, the speed bump and signal, as well as the tools we offer in the form of our order types. As a result, we've built an ecosystem for rich midpoint liquidity and a high standard for trading performance for investors. My comment: I'm not sure I like the wording rich midpoint liquidity. Yes, the big firms on the other sides of our trades are rich and getting richer. Deep is a better word. Here is the commentary from Phil McIntosh of NASDAQ. NMS2 doesn't fix the odd lot problem. The SEC proposed changing round lot sizes. Today we take a look at how odd the SEC solution looks. Back before the pandemic, lots of traders were looking at the increase in stock prices and their wider spreads and noticed it was causing odd lots to increase. The SIP committee even proposed adding an odd BBO to their feed, although most of the criticism were around whether the odd BBO would actually matter, given it wasn't protected or required to be shown to investors. My comment: odd lots have exploded and need to be more transparent. Even I have traded odd lots this year. Okay, I have only traded odd lots this year. Here is a story from the Financial Times from Gillian Tett. Millennial philanthropy may forever change finance. Attitudes among younger people represent an entirely new investor mindset. What is up with those weird millennials? That is a sentiment many middle-aged people like me might have muttered in the workplace when confronted with the fact that some of those born between 1981 and 1996 have different attitudes towards career and hierarchies. My comment: every generation is a little different, influenced by different events, but this generation could really change things greatly. Here's a story from the New York Times. Our Pathetic Herd Immunity Failure by David Brooks. Could today's version of America have been able to win World War II? It hardly seems possible. That victory required national cohesion, voluntary sacrifice for the common good, and a trust in institutions and each other. America's response to COVID-19 suggests we no longer have sufficient quantities of any of those things. My comment: what herd? All I see are tribes. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. The most read story on Thursday was an essay by Kevin Darby, published by Cornell University. Time is Money: The Equilibrium Trading Horizon and the Optimal Arrival Price. The second was from the Chicago Sun-Times. Most Chicago trading pits closed for good, CME Group says. And number three was from the Wall Street Journal. Dogecoin's 12,000% rally spurs hunt for next crypto winner. Your Crypto Markets Wiki Coin of the Week is Ethereum Classic, ETC. Ethereum Classic hit a record high of $108.32 Wednesday, representing a nearly 130% spike, the biggest in its history. ETC, which began as a fork of Ethereum, has developed bullish sentiment among retail traders in recent weeks. While it is not known exactly what caused this, data from Google Trends indicates that internet search interest in the altcoin has grown significantly in the first week of May. Here are the four top stories from the lead section of the John Lothian newsletter today. From Dutch tulips to internet stocks, bubbles often burst long before SPACs and NFTs. Investors clamored for everything from exotic bulbs to pets.com. What history shows is that an inventive corner of the financial world can turn into a mania that attracts swindlers and wipes out investors. About 300 years ago, financiers in Europe found themselves agog about the financial prospects of novel trading companies granted special rights in international commerce by the government of France and England. The shares of these trading vehicles, England's South Sea Company and France's Mississippi Company, soared and then collapsed in 1720, wiping out hordes of angry investors. Episodes like that have some economic historians wrinkling their brows about what is happening in financial markets today, with Wall Street once again in the embrace of perplexing crazes for new investment vehicles. That's from the Wall Street Journal. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Fed warns of peril for asset prices as investors gorge on risk. Brainerd Archegos event shows more hedge fund disclosure needs. Fed releases its semi-annual financial stability report. Discover what's driving the global economy and what it means for policymakers, businesses, investors, and you with the New Economy Daily. A rising appetite for risk across a variety of asset markets is stretching valuations and creating vulnerabilities in the U.S. financial system, the U.S. Federal Reserve said in its semi-annual financial stability report. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. COVID-19 retreats in the West, but pandemic fight is far from over. With parts of Asia and Latin America under siege, global deaths in 2021 on track to exceed 2020 toll. The center of the COVID-19 pandemic has shifted decisively to low and middle income countries, fueling sickness and death on a scale that trends suggest could quickly exceed the worldwide toll in 2020. Already this year, more than 1.4 million COVID deaths have been reported globally as the virus has torn through Latin America and swaths of Asia, according to official tallies compiled by the University of Oxford. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Key Brexit clash cost Euro swap traders $2.4 million a day. From Celia Brush of Bloomberg. Dutch professor estimates the cost of fragmentation of clearing. Permission for cross-border clearing expires in June next year. One of the biggest Brexit battlegrounds between the European Union and the UK now has a price tag, at least $2.4 million a day. That's how much any move by the European Union to cut off access to London's dominant clearinghouses for derivatives could cost traders in euro interest rate swaps net of buying, according to an estimate from Albert Mechveld, professor of finance at Vrije University Amsterdam, who has sat on advisory panels to European regulatory authorities. And lastly, from Bloomberg, from Archegos to crypto, SEC chief signals COP is back on beat. Gensler pledges close look at numerous market issues. House testimony pleases Democrats who want tougher rules. Wall Street's new overseer confirmed he won't back down from tough battles with the financial industry as he laid out an agenda for increased regulation in numerous contentious areas. Gary Gensler making his first appearance before Congress after being sworn in as Securities and Exchange Commission chairman pledged Thursday to confront long simmering issues in the stock market that led to this year's wild price swings in shares of GameStop Corp and fueled concerns that retail investors are getting short shrift from popular trading apps. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.